Welcome to episode 500 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Revelation 2 verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Noah overcame. Moses overcame, Samson overcame, David overcame, Daniel overcame, Zacchaeus overcame, Jesus overcame, Peter overcame, Paul overcame, Timothy overcame. God is still inspiring overcomers today. I remember as a child reading the book, The Hiding Place, a memoir about a Dutch woman, Corrie ten Boom, and her experiences in World War II. After the war began, members of the ten Boom family became involved in resistance efforts. Two nephews worked in resistance cells. Various family members sheltered young men sought by the Nazis for forced labor and assisted Jews in contacting persons willing to hide them. Corrie became directly involved in these efforts when, along with her father and sister Betsy, she decided to hide Jews in the family home in the Netherlands. Using her job as a watchmaker in her father's shop as a cover, Corrie built contacts with resistance workers who assisted her in procuring ration books and building a hiding place in the family home. Six people, among them both Jews and resistance workers, hid in this hiding place when the Gestapo, the German secret state police, tipped off by an informant, raided the house in February 1944. Those in hiding remained undiscovered. Several days after the raid, resistance workers transferred them to other locations. In the meantime, however, the Gestapo had arrested Corrie ten Boom, her father, her brother and two sisters, and other family members. Corrie and her sister Betsy eventually ended up in Ravensbrück, a women's labor camp in Germany. There they held worship services after the hard days at work by using a Bible that they had managed to smuggle in. Many were won for Christ through their efforts. Betsy died in prison, and 12 days later, Corrie was released. This was apparently due to a clerical error. A week later, all the women in her age group were sent to the gas chambers. But Corrie survived. Corrie returned home and opened her doors to people with disabilities who were in hiding for fear of execution. After the war, Corrie advocated reconciliation as a means for overcoming the psychological scars left by the Nazi occupation. She later traveled the world as an evangelist, motivational speaker, and social critic, referring to her experiences in Ravensbrück as she offered solace to prisoners and protested the Vietnam War. During her travels, when she was giving a sermon, one of the guards who had mistreated her while she was a concentration camp prisoner was in the audience. Corrie forgave him for his transgressions. Despite her challenges, despite the persecution that she faced, Corrie ten Boom overcame. I remember as a child going to the basement of a church to watch the film The Cross and the Switchblade. It was based on a book written by David Wilkerson, a white preacher from Pennsylvania who ministered to New York City gang members in the 1950s and 60s. He was the founder of the addiction recovery program Teen Challenge and founding pastor of the non-denominational Times Square Church. I got the chance to hear him speak there shortly before his death. Among the gang members to whom Wilkerson ministered was a leader of a Puerto Rican gang called Nicky Cruz. Nicky was one of 19 children born to witchcraft practicing parents in Puerto Rico. When he was 15, Nicky's father exiled him to live with an older brother in New York City. Full of anger and rage, he soon left his brother to take his chances on the streets. By age 16, he became a member of the notorious Brooklyn street gang known as the Mamas. Within 6 months, he had risen through the ranks to become the warlord, ruling the streets as a leader of one of the gangs most feared by rivals and police. Lost in a cycle of alcohol and brutal violence, his life took a tragic turn for the worse when his best friend and fellow gang member, Manny, was jumped and stabbed repeatedly. Manny bled out and died in Nicky's arms. As Nicky Cruz's violent reputation grew, so did his haunting nightmares. Arrested countless times, a court-ordered psychiatrist pronounced Nicky's fate as hopeless. He was destined for prison, the electric chair, and hell. David Wilkerson met Nicky when he was still a teenager and disarmed the young man by showing him something he had never known before: relentless love. His interest in the young man was persistent. Nikki beat him up, spat on him, and seriously threatened his life. Yet the love of God prevailed. It was stronger than any adversary that Nikki had ever encountered. Eventually, Nikki would come to fall in love with the Jesus that Wilkerson preached about. He began to study the Bible and went to Bible college. He became a preacher and returned to his old neighborhood, where he preached and converted more of the Mamas to Christianity, including the gang's new leader. I had the chance to hear him preach more than 40 years after his conversion. Nikki Cruz, the odds were stacked against him, but by God's grace, he overcame. Amy Carmichael was a missionary to India in the first half of the 20th century. She's best known today for her work among at-risk Indian children, founding the Dhanavar Fellowship, and her many influential writings. Amy was born in Mellal, County Down, Ireland in 1867. Her church-going family ensured that young Amy was brought up knowing the Lord. In her teens, Amy developed a burden for the Shawlies in Belfast, poor mill girls who wore shawls instead of the more expensive hats. She started a Bible class for them, and the work grew, eventually needing a building to hold 500 people. Amy continued to work with the Shawlies in Belfast until she moved on to similar work in Manchester in 1889. Amy Carmichael began attending Keswick Convention meetings, where she heard the likes of D.L. Moody and Hudson Taylor, founder of the China Inland Mission. After hearing Taylor, Amy knew that God was calling her to foreign missions. In 1887, Amy Carmichael traveled to Japan, but she had to return home 15 months later due to illness. After a time of recovery and applying to a new mission board, Amy arrived in Bangalore, India in 1895. At 28 years old, she was at the beginning of a groundbreaking and consequential missionary career. She never took a furlough and never returned home to Ireland. Her primary work was evangelism, and she supported the Indian women converts in Dhanavar, India, as they would be persecuted after accepting Christ. However, during her excursions in the villages, she learned that children were being sold to Hindu temples and were often being forced to marry against their will. She dedicated the rest of her life to rescuing and caring for such children. And even though a horrible accident confined her to a bed for the last 20 years of her life, she continued her ministry. Amy faced many challenges, yet she overcame. Surfer Bethany Hamilton lost her arm in a shark attack at 13. Bethany and her mother prayed that somehow God would use this accident for his glory. 1 month later, she was back on the board, determined to overcome her adversity. She would win first place in the NSA National Championships 2 years later. She would have a film about her experience made and share a message of hope to the world. Today, Bethany describes herself as a relentless overcomer. Father, thank you for the examples of those who overcame. Thank you that the power to overcome is available to us through the Holy Spirit. Give us the faith, give us the courage, give us the persistence to overcome. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.